Today in Rome, our Holy Father Pope Francis canonized a new saint. Elizabeth of the Trinity, Carmelite from France who died in 1906. I bring her up not only because she's being canonized today, but because the scripture passages talk to us about the necessity of prayer. And as the Carmelites are known to have a great charism of interceding for the church, as they do in their convents and their monasteries, it would be appropriate for us to see her as a great example for prayer in our own day and our own time. As I said, Elizabeth Cattez, otherwise known as Elizabeth of the Trinity, died in 1906 at the young age of 26 in Dijon, France. From the time of her first communion in 1891, she wanted nothing else but to give her life entirely to the Lord as a return, as she said, for the great love that he had shown for her. At 13, she made a personal vow of virginity, something that she kept even as many young men wanted to court her as she grew older. She was an accomplished pianist, played the piano beautifully, and she was well-loved in her family's social circles. Her father was a military official. In all this, she still strongly desired to enter the religious life, but her family wouldn't hear of it until after she would turn 21. At that age, she entered Carmel, received the habit, and not long after, she began to go through some very intense spiritual trials. Doubts about her vocation, desolations, feeling that God had abandoned her, temptations against the faith, and otherwise. But through all of this, she continued to look past all the darkness and the goal of her aspiration, which was union with the Holy Trinity. When you think about it, it's the same with all of us. We go through doubts pretty often. Sometimes we might even feel like God isn't listening or that he's abandoned us. We feel temptation every day. But despite these things, we can't lose the fact that we're called by God to leave the darkness and that we're aspiring to light, to love, to be with him forever. Union with the Holy Trinity. That's what she wanted, to be one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, her name, Elizabeth itself, means from the Hebrew, house of God, literally. And that's what she desired, to live in union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that the Trinity would dwell within her. And she wanted all of her life to be nothing else but a praise of his glory. In 1903, she began to suffer from the intense symptoms of what we know of today as Addison's disease. It all began as a horrible stomach ailment and began to manifest itself throughout her body. Though her body became weaker and thinner, and she suffered terribly, she endured all of it with great joy and with fortitude. In fact, she once wrote, "My Jesus, I want to leave all. I long to give you my life and to share your agony. May I die crucified with you." Quite a statement for a young lady in her early 20s. I want to leave all. I long to give myself to you, give you my life and to share your agony. May I die crucified with you. Though her body was becoming but a shell, a fragile one at that, her soul, attested to by the writings of those who knew her, the accounts of those who were there with her, and her own writings as well, we can see that her soul truly magnified the Lord. She died November 9th, 1906. Her last words were, "I'm going to light, to love, to life. I'm going to light, to love, to life." Now, how easy it would have been for her, as for so many of us, to lose faith in a time of struggle like that. In times of struggle and adversity, it becomes very easy for so many of us if we don't persevere in prayer. That's become the most important aspect of the life of a Christian that we tend to cast off very easily. I think it's because we live in a world of constant stimulation and constant noise that we feel like every time we have to go to prayer, we have to be somewhat entertained. Thus, the advent of all these mega churches that have all the beautiful bands and the praise and worship and the this and the that and the glitz and the glamour and so on. You've heard me say that before. So there's a whole lot of action and stimulation, but there's not a whole lot of contemplation. That is, of listening to God. Psalm 45 says quite beautifully, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." Look at nature. Grass doesn't make noise, but it grows thick and full. Trees don't make a whole lot of noise, but they grow tall, strong, and deeply rooted. And so it should be with us. We can only grow and flourish when we listen to God in the silence of our hearts. I know what you're thinking. Well, Father, that's easy for you to say because you live by yourself in a house. You don't have a bunch of kids making noise all the time. And that's true. But it's taking advantage of those moments when we can be silent, even if it's only for a few minutes, in the car, popping into a church, anything to be able to allow us to listen to the voice of God. Jesus asked at the end of the gospel passage that we heard, when he returns, is he going to find any faith left on this earth? I don't know about y'all. I get kind of nervous about that sometimes. Looking at the state of the world that we live in, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to find very much. But we can change that, and we should. Now, it's true. All of us have received, at the time of our baptism, the virtues of faith, of hope, and love, all these as gifts from God. But those gifts that he gave us are just like sparks. Sparks that can only grow into a living flame by the presence of the Holy Spirit in hearts that are lifted up to God in prayer. Souls that are open to God in prayer. Those who know how to pray understand what St. Teresa of Avila meant when she said, "Nothing is lacking to the one who possesses God. God alone is enough." And that's true. Nothing is lacking to those who possess God. God alone is enough. And St. Augustine comments, if prayer weakens, one's faith withers. If one's faith weakens, one's prayer withers. If prayer weakens, our faith withers. If our faith weakens, our prayer withers, because a river cannot flow if its source is dried up. We must be a people of prayer. And how do we do that? First of all, it's by us constantly remembering that we're always in the presence of God. God sees all that we do. He knows our thoughts from afar. We're always in his presence. And as his people baptized into Christ Jesus, the presence of God is always in every one of us. We're in his presence. He is in ours. With that, we need to make a conscious decision, an active decision, each and every day, to seek and to do nothing else but God's will. Lord, what would you have me do today? At the same time, asking him to guide us and to help us by the light of the Holy Spirit. We have to verbally let the Lord know, and also in our actions, that we truly and sincerely love him. We have to say it and believe it, that we truly and sincerely love him and that we trust him, that we want what he wants, and that we receive whatever he gives us with gratitude and praise. As St. Paul said so beautifully in his letter to Timothy in the second reading, we are to meditate on his sacred truth, on God's sacred truth, and contemplate God at work in us and God at work in all of his creation. We are to speak to him as we speak to one another, heart to heart, mind to mind, soul to soul, daily, offering intercession not only for ourselves, but also for those who ask for our prayers, those in need of our prayers. It's good that we come to Mass on Sunday, the day of the resurrection, but to make a special effort to come as often as we possibly can. Why? So that we can hear the Word of God. We can meditate on it, and most importantly, receive the body and blood, the soul and divinity of the Word made flesh, so that we can live what we have learned. Keep in mind, there will be no heaven, no heaven later on, for those who do not seek to live in the presence of God here and now. If you don't want to spend time with God here, it's not going to happen in the hereafter. This is where it all begins. no heaven later for those who do not seek to live in the presence of God here and now. Brothers and sisters, may our prayer grant us a firmness of faith. May our prayer, grounded in faith, lead us to light, to love, to eternal life. After all, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that what we really want, what we really need, what we desire above all things, is nothing else but Christ. Christ. Desiring nothing but what will draw us closer to Him and keep us with Him, now and forever.